never stopped anyone before. So we're only on the bottom of the Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. I wanted to discuss today the concept of Hakdamas Lavan L'Tcheles, putting Lavan in the Beged before Tcheles. Doesn't sound like a very halacha l'maaseh sugya, but there were a couple of interesting things that I thought were at least worthy spending one morning on. Hakdamas Lavan L'Tcheles. So again, just to get us in the context of what the Gemara was talking about, we had a Mishnah that said very clearly, Lavan is not Makiv Tcheles, Tcheles is not Makiv Lavan. It actually said it the other way, Tcheles is not Makiv Lavan, Lavan is not Makiv Tcheles. And then we had an opinion of Rebbe, Shitas Rebbe, that says, yes, they are Makiv each other. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that means Rebbe's going against the Mishnah, which of course you would say, yeah, Shkayach, of course Rebbe's going against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that they're not Makiv, Rebbe says they are Makiv. But the Gemara says, no, maybe Rebbe actually agrees with the Mishnah, and we totally misunderstood the Mishnah. And the first way the Gemara suggests that maybe we misunderstood the Mishnah is maybe what the Mishnah really meant when it said Tcheles Einu Makiv is Lavan, Lavan Einu Makiv is Tcheles. It didn't mean that you could do the mitzvah of Lavan in the absence of Tcheles, and you could do the mitzvah of Tcheles in the absence of Lavan. No, what it meant is that even though there's a din that you have to put Lavan in your tzitzis before you put Tcheles, I shouldn't say put in, even though there's a din that Lavan has to come before Tcheles, nevertheless, if Lavan didn't come before Tcheles, you are chiser mitzvah, you lose out what the Gemara later translates to mean, mitzvah min amuvchar, but it's still okay, you still get the mitzvah. You just don't have the mitzvah min amuvchar. So that's what the Mishnah really means, but in fact, Rebbe could in fact agree with the Mishnah. Now the Gemara in the end will say that is not what the Mishnah means, that clearly cannot be what the Mishnah means, but it doesn't mean that that's not the halacha, because it quoted a brisa, three lines from the bottom of the page, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, did Tanya, mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'tcheles. There is a mitzvah to have lavan come before the tcheles comes. So it is a clear brisa. Whether it's also pshat in the Mishnah seems irrelevant. Because if there's no brisa that's cholik, there's no brisa that tells us that lavan doesn't have to come before tcheles, so it doesn't matter whether it's pshat in the Mishnah, it would still be the halacha, it would seem. Yeah.
In the Gemara it said that if you were hakdim tcheles, they love on you, it's
yatza. Yatza, ela shechiser mitzvah.
Doesn't yatza mean generally when we say yatza, it doesn't mean so why do you want to go through this whole thing with chiser mitzvah? It's the Eved.
Well, the Gemara got there. The Gemara said, well, what does chiser mitzvah mean?
We
it can't
know,
mean...
No, I'm saying, we know that yatzah usually means that it didn't fulfill to the fullest potential.
I mean, that's what the Gemara...
Well, I'm saying,
yatzah usually just means yatzah. It doesn't mean you didn't fulfill it. It tells you what you did do. You got the mitzvah. Yatzah doesn't mean yatzah b'diavad. Yatzah can mean yatzah l'chadchil also, that it works. So the first question is, what does lahakdim mean? Just what do the words mean? What does it mean that lavan comes first? So Rashi tells us, and this is the way we read the Gemara the first time because Rashi says it. Rashi says, lahakdim shim hiktim hamu'uchar tahaynu tcheles de lavan ksiv bereisha. And then he goes on to say, haknaf min knaf v'im hiktim atcheles es halavan eina ma'akeves. So Rashi seems to be telling us that lahakdim means which strings you're putting in. That the lavan, it says lavan first, so you have to put in lavan before you put in the tcheles into the actual beged. That's what the simple reading of Rashi seems to be, although it's not, doesn't seem totally explicit, but simple reading of Rashi is that hiktim would mean what the Gemara sounds like it means, that you have to put the lavan in first. Now, if you look at the Shita, now someone told me that not every Gemara has the same Shita, someone showed me, not every Gemara has the same Shita Mukbetzas, so you could look at, if you have it on the side of your Gemara in the margin, that's great. If for some reason your Shita Mukbetzas is not there or somewhere else and you can't find it, you could look in the packets in the bottom of page 1 over here, in source number 3, says the Shita, V'lo nihira, debaha, mai chavivus de mitzvah ika. He says, I don't think this is correct. I don't think Rashi is correct. Because, meaning the idea, he quotes Rashi, first of all, he says, Pirsha HaKuntros, what does it mean? Lahaktim Lavan L'Tcheles. He quotes Rashi, Pirsha HaKuntros, Litchov, that Rashi means to put into the Beged. Because Lavan, it says, Haknaf Min Knaf, before it says Tcheles. So you need to put the Lavan in the Beged before the Tcheles. And then he said, Velo Nihira, I don't think it's correct. Debaha mai chavivusa de mitzvah ika. What does he mean by that? What? Well, the Gemara says that white is more kadosh and that white is better. So, what does he mean that mai chavivusa de mitzvah ika? What does he mean mai chavivusa de mitzvah ika? What's the chavivus of the mitzvah? At the end of the day, it's going to look the same. How is that a chavivus of the mitzvah by putting in one before the other? Your tzitzis aren't done until you tie everything together anyway, and you're not tying anything until you have them all in the baguette. So it shouldn't make any difference. V'yesh lomar, the mitzvah lahakdim chulios shel lavan, l'chulios shel tcheles, k'damrin l'kaman, maschul b'shalavan m'sayim b'shalavan. He says, Rashi misunderstood the Gemara. The Gemara over here doesn't mean which strings you put into the baguette first. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara is referring to a Gemara that we're going to have on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. On Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss in some detail how to tie tzitzis. And you'll see when we get there, it's not how we tie tzitzis, if you don't wear tzitzis. There's some other way to tie tzitzis. But one of the rules that the Gemara has is whatever you do, you start with white and you end with white. So that's all the Gemara is saying. Mitzvah lahakdim lavan is that the first kricha, the first chulia, the first winding has to be white. But it doesn't mean that you have to actually stick the white strings into the beged before the blue strings. Why would you have to do that? And then he quotes, so that was from Tosos Chadashim. And then he quotes, "Betosos acheros kasvu, shita mukvetzes," is what it sounds like. It's a collection of shitos of Rishonim. Throughout Shas, that's what Shita Mekubetzes always is. He collects different Rishonim. So, B'tosos Acheros Kasvu, Mitzvah Lahaktim, Pirush Rashi, Masnisin Dektani Ein Ma'akvin Zelazel Lahaktim Amu'uchar. That the Mishnah that says Ein Ma'akvin Zelazel means that it's not a problem if you do it in the wrong order. That's what Rashi said. Mitoch Pirusho Mashma Demairi Le'inyan Tchivas Hachutin Beknath the mitzvah lahakdim lavan. Rashi sounds like he means that you put white in before the blue. That's what you're supposed to do. Vim hiktim tchelos lavan loma akev. Veloni hira. And again he says, I don't think it's correct. Why? Demai shayich lomar hakdama bedavar she'eno nikr. Now this is a little more clear what his question is. Mai shayich lomar hakdama bedavar she'eno nikr. Share achar shenechtechu shneihem, ein shenitchevu shneihem rather, ein nikr mi hiktim letchivos. What's he asking over here? So, at the end of the day, if you see two pairs of tzitzis, will you know which pair of tzitzis had white put in before the blue and which one had blue put in before the white? You'll never know. They look exactly the same. So therefore, it doesn't make sense that there would be such a din that you'd have to put white in before the blue, because they look exactly the same at the end of the day anyway. So why should there even be such a halacha? It's strange that there would be such a halacha.
Why is this even a question? Say by sukkah, where the slachas
is. Ah, so we said, I think in the first or second shiur of the summer, we're only up to like the fifth, right? But we said, if one of the earlier shiurim, we said that, what do you mean, why is that a kasha? We already, without seeing the shiur betzos, we said, what difference does it make which one you put in first? At the end of the day, when is there ever a din about a process of how you do something? And we said, that's a klutz kasha. There are always dinim about the process. By a sukkah l'shem schach, l'shem tzel, let's say, that you have to make sukkah l'shem tzel. What did we say? We gave a better example. Right, what was the other example? When you're writing tefillin, it has to be l'shma. You make matzahs, it has to be l'shem mitzvahs matzah. We always have things where you have to, where you won't be able to look at the end product and be able to tell the difference. And still it matters how you got there. How you made it still makes a difference. If you write a Sefer Torah, a min writes a Sefer Torah. Let's say you have a person who's a fantastic artist, and he has a beautiful ksav. He just happens to not believe in God. So he writes a Sefer Torah. So the Kedusha of the Shemos, he had no kavana by the Kedusha of any of the Shemos, the Shem Kedusha. Or if you have Chak Tochos, where a Sefer Torah was written and there were two letters that were touching, and instead of rewriting, you just scratched out the part that was connecting them. By mezuzah, even, sometimes you could have the most gorgeous mezuzah, and you'll never know that it's puzzle, because there was Chak Tochos. There was a connecting letter, and instead of erasing the whole second letter and rewriting, they just scratched out the connecting ink between the two letters. Puzzle! You get zero mitzvah. Why? Because of the way it was made. So what's Shita Mechatzis talking about? That the way it was made doesn't matter?
So we say it's not like the whole purpose is you're looking at them. So it's not like a Torah where it's purposeless and you read it and learn.
Very
them.
Good.
This is like you're looking at it and that's the end.
So in general, when you have a question like this, that you have, and there are two approaches to answer a question like this. Meaning, when you have a question that Shinduk Vetsa says something about Sittis that seems to be against everything we say in Kol HaTorah Kula, you can either answer it by changing our understanding of how it works in Kol HaTorah Kula, or you can answer it by changing our understanding of how it works here, right? So your suggestion is change how it works. The easier approach is Kol HaTorah Kula is good. The way to get to the way to make mitzvah sometimes matters. How you do it, what your kavanas are, that matters sometimes. There are rules about how to make mitzvahs. Over here, how we do it doesn't matter as much because it's beferish in the pasuk or isamos zchartem. It's beferish in the pasuk that the function, the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis is that we will come to a zechira of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it seems to be a goal-oriented mitzvah. Broadly speaking, we have two types of mitzvahs. There are mice-oriented mitzvahs, and there are goal-oriented mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that are about just doing an action, and mitzvahs about achieving something, about getting to a certain point and achieving a certain goal. The mitzvah of tzitz is to have tzitz at the end so that you can be reminded of the mitzvahs. It shouldn't, therefore, matter how you got there. The problem with that is that we do find by tzitzis that sometimes it does matter. Let's say, for example, there's a concept called ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asur, which applies to tzitzis. That tzitzis requires asiya. And therefore, let's say you have a beged that has three corners and one rounded corner, and you put tzitzis in that beged, and then you cut the rounded corner into a square, so it now becomes a beged of dalet kanfos. It looks perfect. Your tzitzis are puzzled. Because tasav lo menasu. So we do see that process matters a little bit in tzitzis. It's not only about the end result. Or, for example, if you have a katan that makes your tzitzis, since tzitzis needs an asiya l'shma, so you don't have asiya l'shma when a katan has made your tzitzis. And therefore your tzitzis are puzzled. If a katan makes his tzitzis. Mishabur is makel that a katan can make his own tzitzis. It's a question, can he make his own tzitzis and then become bar mitzvah and still wear those tzitzis? That's a different question. But a katan certainly cannot make tzitzis for an adult. So apparently it's not only about the bottom line, it's not only about the result, it's also about the process. Now one could have argued, well, you know, where do we have halachos about the process? Let's say by Ksiva Sefer Torah, there's a din of Lashma. That's because you need a Chaloshem Kedusha. When you're dealing with the Davarship of Kedusha, in order to grant it Kedusha Sefer Torah, in order to give a Kedusha, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not just writing the words. The mitzvah is to write something that will then have Kedusha Sefer Torah. And to give it Kedusha, you need Kavana Lashma. You need a certain method and a certain process. When you want to grant it Kedusha, Tzitzis doesn't have Kedusha per se. Tzitzis are not Tashmishe Kedusha. There's a difference between, there are two broad concepts in Halacha. There's what's called Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. The Halacha is Tashmishe Mitzvah la'achar zman mitzvah san nizrakit. Tashmishe Mitzvah, once the mitzvah is over, you can chuck it, you can throw it out. Technically speaking, Tashmishe Mitzvah, let's say I get the Shiloh all the time, someone wants to throw out their schach. Their old ratty schach, it's not good, they want to get rid of it. It was used for a mitzvah though. What are they supposed to do? Or every single year. Your lulav, after Yom Tov is over. What do you do with it? Technically speaking, as long as you don't do something that's a bizayon to it, it's nizrakin. I used to always tell, you know, the way I would express it to people, because I'm sometimes don't speak properly, the way I used to express it to people was, I would say, just don't urinate on it, you know, just throw it out, like, and that's fine. And then I heard Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, speaking at a Shalom Zachar for his grandson, and he was talking about the concept of Tashmishe Mitzvah, and he was saying, Tashmishe Mitzvah, the halacha is Nizrakin, I can't even say, but if you would throw it in the G-A-R-B-A-G-E, I can't even say the words, and I'm thinking, like, I'm telling people don't urinate on you. He can't say the word garbage, you know. So there's a difference in levels of tzidkos, I guess, let's say. But the general concept of tashmisha mitzvah is tashmisha mitzvah and nizrakim. You throw out tashmisha mitzvah. Tashmisha kedusha nignazim. We have Seamus boxes for tashmisha mitzvah. We bury it in the ground. So when you're dealing with something, Sefer Torah is Kedusha, to give it a chalos shem, Kedusha, Sefer Torah, that's where you need a lishma. Tashmisha mitzvah, you don't need it unless there's a drasha that tells you you need it. Like by matzah, the Gemara has a drasha, psachim daf mem, that you need shmira lishma. That you need to be shomer l'shem mitzvah's matzah. Okay, so a special drasha from a pasuk that tells me that by, even though matzah is obviously tashmisha mitzvah, not tashmisha Kedusha, but still, there's a special drasha over there. But the problem is by tzitzis also, we have a drasha, you need asiyah lishma. But still, that's where the drasha is about the asiyah, not about that it needs to be lishma, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. We don't have any drasha that tells me you need a tchiva in the right order. That's not a beferish drasha. That's just something the Gemara is may or may not be saying based on the seder of the psukim. Just because the Pesukim puts something in a certain order, does that mean it necessarily has to be done in that order? So the Shulchan Aruch might be saying, there's no din of a chaloshem kedusha on the tzitzis. And whatever din that in order for it to be a kasher chetzah shel mitzvah, that you need to do it lishma, that's a din that you need a drasha for. And I don't hold this is a drasha. That there's a drasha of kedima over here. This is not one of the Yigil Mishatar and drashas ben kedima. So I don't think there's a drasha.
Isn't just asking in general if something's not recognizable, then therefore it shouldn't be a din. I don't think that's what he's asking. I think he's asking in this specific case, according to Rashi, who says that the reason why I'm putting in the loving before tefillas is because the pasuk writes hakana first to teach me that white is chashiv. So since white is chashiv, therefore I'm going to put it in first.
Uh-huh.
So the Shita Mikvesit is just simply saying that. That's not a good way of showing its chashivas at all because it's not recognizable. The chashivas of the lovin isn't recognizable when it's all together.
Now, certainly the first kasha, that fits very beautifully, right? The first kasha that he quotes from Tos Yishanim or whatever, Tosos Chadashos, the opposite of Tos Yishanim, the Tos Chadashos, where he says, V'loni hira de baham mai chavivusa de mitzvah ika, meaning, how is that, granted you want to say lovin is more kadosh and therefore we treat lovin better. But how is that making it more kadosh by sticking it into the baguette first? You don't even have the mitzvah by the time you stick it into the baguette. Okay, that is that does that read into the second one?
Yeah,
it does. Let's see. V'loni redemai shayich lomar hakdama bedavar she'ino nikker. I don't know. That doesn't read as well. I think that one sounds more like. Why would hakdama matter when you can't recognize it in the end? Not about the chashiv, you know, that it's questioning the chashivas.
Yeah, but then you have the question of, yeah, but what are you talking about? That whenever we, what does it not being recognizable have to do with not being a din?
Okay, you're trying to answer the question, but I'm just saying, you're trying to answer the question by saying I'm misunderstanding or we're misunderstanding his question. I'm not sure that we're misunderstanding it, though. Maybe there's got to be some other answer. Meaning, your vart, I think, is probably the correct shot, now that I think about it, in the first half, in that first question that he's asking. How is that a chashivus by being makdimit? But over here, he doesn't even mention chashivus. He just says, how does what you do first matter ever? Which is a strange question to ask, because what you do first matters when you write tefillin. If you write tefillin, shaloka seder, it's possible. So what you do first does matter very often. So that's what I'm suggesting, that maybe when you need to create a kedusha, like by tefillin, which is tashmisha kedusha, you need a chaloshem kedusha. By the way, that's why Sefer Torah, I was talking before, Sefer Torah is written by a min, what's the halacha? You throw it in the garbage, it's possible, it's worthless. You can burn it, it's nothing. It has all the same letters, but it doesn't have kedusha. The mitziv has a gavaldik achidish in one of his tshuvas that a lot of people don't like, but... is becoming more and more necessary to Paschim, like with the proliferation of printed Torah materials, where the Netziv says that not only if you do it, if you're a min, but even if you're a believer, but you don't, you print Torah not planning on trying to give it Kedusha, and he goes even a step further. If you print it stama just to use for a short amount of time without any long-term plans to use it for Kedusha, like a Parsha sheet, let's say, it also doesn't have kedusha, and you can just throw it in the garbage. To give something kedusha of shemos, you need to actually consciously give it kedusha. But that's when we're dealing with tashmisha kedusha. The Netziv Abbot I've been talking about, if they have, they used to do before they were published svarim. They didn't have computers. Shocking, right? In times of the Netziv, they didn't have computers. So what they would do is they would print out like a sample copy of the sefer, and they'd go over the whole thing and edit and find all the things that need to be corrected. And then after correcting it, then they would publish the sefer properly. What would they do with that sample copy? So typically what the publishing houses would do, and I went to Sotheby's once with Rav Schechter, long story. But what they do with that sample copy of the sefer is they put it in the binding of other svarim. They use it to make the binding of other sefer. If you look at old svarim, 300, 400 year old svarim, you'll see in the binding there are like letters in the binding itself. They have the binding of old svarim. In fact, Rabbi Salinger, I think, was just telling me that they found even in, or maybe it wasn't Rabbi Salinger, maybe it was someone else that told me. Menachem Butler maybe told me. They found in the binding of a lot of old books, secular books, svarim that we didn't have, that were lost, because they took these svarim and they just used them for the bindings. That's what was actually done. They ripped apart the binding and they actually pieced together like a jigsaw puzzle, and they were actually able to reconstitute svarim. So Netziv was asked, are you allowed to do that? Can you take that, the galleys of the safe there, and make the binding? I said, sure, because you're only making it for a short amount of time. You don't plan on giving you a kedusha. But that's the concept, that when you give something kedusha, but that's only by tashmisha kedusha. What defines tashmisha kedusha? So Rav Schechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, and I think B'Shem Rav Salvation, I think it's I mean, I never heard any other geder of what tashmisha kedusha is. I think this pretty much works. Mm-hmm. Tashmisha kedusha is anything that has ksav shel Torah on it. Tefillin, mezuzah, Sefer Torah needs ksav shel Torah. If it doesn't have ksav shel Torah, it's just used for a mitzvah. Tzitzis, lulav, matzah. That's tashmisha mitzvah. That's not tashmisha kedusha. You don't need chalos shem kedusha. That just needs to be a kashra chefza shel mitzvah. Shachar even said that maybe that's the pshat in why it is that there's a mitzvah kvura on Meisei Yisrael and there's no mitzvah kvura on Meisei Yaakov. He said this seriously, not just as a drush. He said that Meisei Yisrael, a Jewish dead body, what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Why does a Jew's body have to be buried and a non-Jew's body not have to be buried? So he says the difference can't just be that they have seven mitzvahs, we have 613 mitzvahs, because any given Jew will have more mitzvahs than another Jew, meaning Kohanim have more mitzvahs than Israel, and a Melech has certain mitzvahs, and a woman has a lot less mitzvahs. Meaning it can't just be a numbers game. So he says it must be that Torah Tzivalon Moshe Marasha Kilis Yaakov Altikrim Marasha El Marasa Umos HaOlam are not allowed to learn Torah. So they do mitzvos, their bodies are there to do mitzvos their entire lives, but not to actually become one with the Torah. Whereas when it comes to a Jew, chakuk aluach libecha, the Torah, not just tam that we learn Torah, it becomes chakuk aluach libecha. It's engraved on the parchment of our heart. So we become the ksav of the Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, it's tashmisha kedusha. Lachar zman mitzvasim, we can no longer learn Torah, nikbarin, has to be buried. Tashmisha mitzvah, lachar zman mitzvasan, nizrakin. And therefore the non-Jewish dead don't have to be buried. That's how he explains it. But maybe that's the difference over here. Maybe that's what the Shinukvetz is driving at, is that if you're going to say the process matters, you need a drasha to say that the process matters, unless you're dealing with tashmisha kedusha. Tashmisha kedusha process will matter. Tashmisha mitzvah, you need a drasha. Anything that has any mitzvah that's ksav shel Torah. What?
Is both yourself about that? Or if it's like says a pasuk, or if it says Rashi says
something else. Okay, so that's debatable. That's a discussion. Yeah, that's debatable. No, but the Tziv thinks even on the Sefer Torah itself. Meaning, even if you were to write a Sefer Torah on cloth, having in mind that you're thinking of Hashem when you're writing Hashem's name, but you just want to use it as a practice, say, for Torah, and then you don't plan on leaving it around for too long, he would think that it doesn't have Kedusha. And it's like it's a really, really big chiddush.
So, according to this definition of Hashem's Kedusha, then what about the case of the Schaaf? Why would it matter which way you do it first?
There's also a drasha that it's got to be the Shem itself. So Gemara is a drasha. So good, that's Tessa.
So instead of the Tashmisha route, can Josh was suggesting whether it's like a din in the Levisha or the Asiya. So if the Shidim Avetzis is going with that it's a din in the Levisha, then would he say that in terms of the Hechshir Mitzvah, there's no Indian of Kedimos, but by Rashi holds maybe that it's a din in the Asiya, and that's good for the mitzvah, so there's a proper way to
there's
go.
There's definitely way more emphasis in Rashi on the Asiya and way more emphasis in the Shulim Gratz on Levisha, but even if the mitzvah is a mitzvah as Levisha, it doesn't that wouldn't necessarily... The mitzvah of tefillin is a mitzvah of Hanachas tefillin, and that and yet there are still there are still halachos about the procedure to get there.
Aren't those only for the mitzvah of Hanachah? I mean, I want to wear something that's the Darush Medusha, so therefore I have halachos in how to take them in Darush Medusha so that I could
perform. So you're still being someich on the Darush Medusha part then? Meaning that it's about a Darush Medusha.
Right, but it's only for the episode of the mitzvah. The only reason
but
why
it's about creating Kedusha of the Chefza. It wouldn't work for mitzvahs.
Right, but couldn't the same thing apply here?
Meaning since it's not a Darush Kedusha, then it
right.
doesn't matter what the order is. In
right,
the
right. So I'm saying it's putting the two together.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. So, why did I quote this Gemara in Yuma? Daf Lamed Ches?
Yeah, it's really random.
So that was the mystery of the day. The mystery Maramakum of the day. There's a guy that comes to North Woodmere once a year. He's he has a Kiruv Yeshiva in Beit Shemesh, I think, or somewhere. I once spoke there, but I don't remember exactly where it was. I just plugged into the GPS and went. But and he said over the following part that the Shita Mekubetz has reminded me of. The Mishnah in Maseches Yuma goes through, even if you're not into the sugya, get a good part out of this at least. You can get a good part. The Mishnah says, Mishnah lists off Ve'elu L'Gnai, that the following are people that we remember L'Gnai that did bad things. And the Mishnah lists off a list of four people who all had a particular expertise or knowledge about how to be Ovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu and didn't share that expertise or knowledge. So it says, Shal Beis Garmu lo ratzu l'lamed al maisa lechem apanim. Beis Garmu was a family that knew how to make lechem apanim, not an easy thing to do. Lechem apanim was very challenging to make. It was a tefach high and was shaped oddly. And by the way, it was matzah, it wasn't chametz. That's the great miracle of the, you know, sometimes I remember I used to think, like, a week later, okay, so it's not totally stale. Like, what's the biggest miracle that it's so soft still a week later? The miraculous part about that was that it wasn't even bread, it was matzah. It was thick matzah. You ever see thick matzah? You leave it out of the freezer for like 10 minutes and it becomes a brick. So, meaning it never rose, the dough never rose. So it's matzah, lechem apanim, that's the old klutz kasha they would ask. How did they do lechem apanim on Pesach? You know, no, it was matzah, it was just a tefachai matzah. So it was the fact that it stayed fresh. So they knew how to make it. They knew how to make the lechem apanim, and they didn't share it. They knew how to be mefatim the ketores, they knew all the ingredients of the ketores, and they didn't share it. Hugras ben Levi yodea perik bashir. He knew something special about how to make nice music for the Levium, and he didn't teach. Ben Kamtzar l'ratzel lamin al maisa ksav. And Ben Kamtzar didn't want to teach about the ksav, about the maisa ksav, about how to write. What was his maisa ksav? So he had this very cool trick he was able to do. The Gemara explains he could take four pens and stick one here, one there, one there, one there, in between his fingers, and write the Shem Hashem all at once. By manipulating his fingers, he could write the Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke all at the same time. And he didn't want to teach anyone else how to do it. It was a very cool trick. It's great for parties. He was able to write the Shem Hashem all at once. So he didn't have to wait to write the Yud and then the Hey, then the Vav. But that was his trick. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, where the Gemara tells a variety of stories about these families and what their excuse was. Did they have any decent excuse for what they did? So the Gemara says, essentially, their excuse was that they were afraid this expertise would fall into the wrong hands. And then people are going to use this brilliant way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to use it to worship Avodah Zarah. So they wanted to keep it tight, keep it in a close-knit group of people who they can trust to only share it with those who can be trusted. Very noble goal. And the Gemara says that about the first three groups, but not about the fourth. The Gemara just says, the fourth one, forget it. They're just terrible. How could he not teach how to do that? So I heard from this Rav who comes to North Windmere once a year, Rav Sher, I forgot his first name, Rav Mordechai Sher, I remember his first name. He said that Rav Michal Feinstein used to quote a Me'iri that discusses, why don't we say the same thing for that fourth guy? We come up with an excuse for everybody else, that they don't want this chachma to be used in the derech of Avodah Zarah. So why not say the same thing for the fourth guy, that he didn't want it to be used in the Derech of Avodah Zarah? And that's why he didn't teach it to anyone. So Rabbi Michael Feinstein apparently used to quote a Meiri that says that no Ovid Avodah Zarah would ever be interested in that trick. Why? Because at the end of the day, if I write the Shem Hashem and this guy writes the Shem Hashem, it's going to look the same anyways. You see, if I make lechem apanim and they make lechem apanim, my lechem apanim is not going to look like their lechem apanim. My ketores is not going to smell like their ketores. My music is not going to be their music. But at the end of the day, my ksav will look exactly like their ksav. Just the, it's only the process that changes. And the Meir says, oh, they don't care about that. And Rav Milchel Feinstein apparently used to say that that's one of the unique characteristics of Judaism. That Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim, Anu Amelim Mekam Schar, Vehem Amelim Vehem Mekam Sachar means we get Schar for the process also. We get Schar for the Amelim Sol, the Chavetz Chaim, they say B'Shem the Chavetz Chaim. That's what we mean. What do you mean the Chavetz Chaim, you say? A shoemaker doesn't get Schar for making shoes? He's Amelim Mekabel Schar also. He doesn't get paid for it. No, but he only gets paid if he actually produces something decent. If he works all day and he messes up and he's got two right shoes at the end of the day, no one's going to pay him for it. Anu Amelim Mekam Schar means we get Schar for the Amelim, meaning the process matters in Judaism. The process doesn't matter outside of Judaism. So I wanted to put the Meiri on the Mar Mekamos, but it doesn't exist. I mean, I couldn't find the Meiri. It's not. It's certainly not on that daf in Maseches Yuma. So why do the Shittim Betzes remind me? The Shittim Betzes sounds like he's saying, who cares about process? At the end of the day, you have tzitzis, you have tchelas, love, and they're both there. Who cares how you got there? What do you mean? Judaism always cares about how you got there. So again, I think the pshat in the shita may be that there's a difference between tashmisha kedusha versus tashmisha mitzvah, and when it's tashmisha mitzvah, you need a drasha. But that's just what it reminded me of. So I didn't expect anyone to make that connection because it may not even be a connection. So the question is, so lehalacha. Now that we Baruch Hashem are zocha to tchelis again, do we have to be machmid when we're making tzitzis? To be mocked in the love and to put the love into the fit. Meaning, do we pass on like Rashi? Do we pass on like the Shita? If you pass on like the Shita, Mukbet says, there is no such din that you have to put love in before Tchelas. By the way, you should realize the Shita Mukbet says, was all he said was that this Gemara, this Braisa, is not teaching us any halacha that we don't already know from another Gemara. The Gemara in Dav Lam and Tesla Medal did talk about the Krichos, how the Krichos have to come first. And that everyone agrees to. Even that's a Gemara that's Beferish. Everyone agrees by the Krichos, you got to do love on first. That's not even debatable. That's for sure la halacha. The question is this halacha of Rashi, we'll call it, that you need tchiva bebeged of love on first, is that true la halacha? So where would you look if you want to see how you pass on halacha? So again, it's the problem we're having all summer. Can't look in the Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch is not going to paskin about tchelas and lavan because he had no tchelas, so he's not paskin about tchelas. So where would we look? So he can't look in the Rif either. The Karen Ora points out because the Rif also doesn't paskin about things that are not nogel lemaisa, that aren't la'alacha. So he didn't paskin about anything that's tchelas related. All the Rif essentially did was he took the Gemara and he chopped out all the pieces that aren't la'alacha and he left you with whatever is la'alacha. So you're not going to find it in the Rif, but the one book you can always trust to have every single last halacha is the Rambam. What? Yeah. So the Rambam should have everything. In fact, how do I know the Rambam is going to have every halacha? Because the Rambam told us he has every halacha. In the Akdamot of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam very famously writes, and this is why people didn't really like him so much for saying this, and they even changed the name of his book because of it. People who liked the Sefer but didn't like this comment changed the name of the book. Because of it, the Rambam wrote a book and he called it Mishnah Torah. And the reason he called it Mishnah Torah is he said, because if you want to know everything you will ever need to know in order to be a good Jew, in order to practice like a good Jew, obviously not in order to learn everything there is to learn, but in order to practice like a good Jew, all you need is the five books of Moses, Chamisha Chumash Torah, and my book, and the Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah is all inclusive, it has everything. So he wasn't willing to say you don't need the five books of Moses anymore, you still need the Chamisha Chumash Torah. That part he wasn't willing to go. But you need Chamisha Chumash Torah and my Sefer, I have everything. No matter when you live, where you live, Bizman HaMikdash, Shalom Bizman HaMikdash, everything's in here. So a lot of people took offense by the Rambam saying something like that. And he called his book Mishnah Torah to say that it includes the whole Torah, the Chazar of the entire Torah. So what did they change the name to? Yad HaChazak, that wasn't the Rambam's name. They changed it later because they thought that was insulting. So he called it, they thought that was a good name too. Yad Yadalit, because there are 14 parts of the Mishnah Torah. So they called it Yad HaChazak. So that's why in the cover of the Rambam you'll see Yad HaChazak La Rambam sometimes. It's really Mishnah Torah La Rambam. That's what the Rambam called it. Anyway, so you look for this halach in the Rambam and it doesn't appear. It's not there. The Rambam doesn't quote this halach of Tchiva first. So, against the backdrop of what we just did, we have a very simple reason why the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha. What would be the simple reason why he doesn't quote this halacha? He doesn't paskin it. He holds like the Shita. Meaning, if he holds like the Shita Mekuvetz, there is no this halacha. This halacha is just the same as the halacha in Dav Lametes. They have to, when you're doing the krichos, they have to do loving first. Okay, so the Rambam does paskin that. That he says beferish. So there is no new halacha over here, and therefore the Rambam doesn't have to mention it. The Keren Orah struggles with why the Rambam doesn't say it, and for some reason he doesn't want to just say that the Rambam holds like the Shita Mekuvetzes. He does not say that the Rambam holds like Shita Mekuvetzes. Keren Orah suggests, I'm sure you saw it inside in source number 5, on the bottom of page 2, Avala Rambam Zal Gamkein Lo Kasav Lahaidina. The Rambam also didn't write this din. The Efshar de Svirile de Hach Braisa Liba de Rebbe Tzricha. Maybe the Rambam holds, says the Keren Orah, that if you hold like Rebbe, that you can't have tcheles without lavan or lavan without tcheles, that you need both in order to get the mitzvah, then it makes sense that there's a requirement to put lavan into the beged before the tcheles, that the order that you do it matters. But if you hold loma akvizeze, which we hold, like the Rabbanan, that tcheles and lavan are not ma'akev each other, and you can have one without the other, well, if you can have one without the other entirely, then of course you could have them placed in the beged in the wrong order. You could have just tcheles and you'll get the mitzvah of tcheles. So why would it matter that tcheles came first? Of course that's okay. You could have just lavan and have the mitzvah of lavan. So why would it matter that Lavan came second? It shouldn't matter at all if you hold like the Rabbanan. And the Rambam passes like the Rabbanan. That's what he suggests. But he says, Avalokein mevor b'tosefta mechilta. The only problem is it's against Nafna Tosefta. Because the Tosefta paskins like the Rabbanan, and the Tosefta still paskins, you need to put the Lavan in first. So the way the Keren Orah wanted to understand is that it should be totally zebezeh. That if they're ma'akiv each other, then the Seder could matter. But if they're not mocking each other, then the Seder won't matter. Questions? Yeah.
Why does it make a difference if let's say they're not mocking each other? You still don't fulfill the best mitzvah possible if I have love, if I just have love, and if I just have toilets.
Meaning, even if they're not mocking each other, you hold like the Rabbanan, how does that get the Keren Orah to the point of saying that, therefore, the order that you put them in doesn't matter? Meaning, yes, I can have tcheles without lavan, and you know what mitzvah I get then? Tcheles. I don't get the full mitzvah. And we're not saying it's puzzle over here, we're just saying you're not doing it perfectly 100% correctly. You get 90% mitzvah. So where does he get from not being ma'akiv each other to the point that kedima doesn't matter? Excellent question. I was bothered by that also. What's the logic? I mean, I don't follow the logic. Now, it turns out we're right, because of the Tosefta, meaning he rejects us in the end because of the Tosefta. But what was the Havamina? That because they're not ma'akiv each other, then all of a sudden you need Kedima.
We're just saying that since we brought this right to answer up the question of Rebbe, so it's only the point of Rebbe that we're saying that.
Yeah, but it's a little bit strange to say that, because that's why the Gemara quoted this Brisa. That's not why the Brisa was written.
How could be the Brisa was written by Rebbe?
I don't know. That's it has nothing to do with Rabbi Shita. At the end of the day, this price has nothing to do with Rabbi Shita. This halacha is only needed according to Rabbi. I don't think he's saying that we only quote this price according to Rabbi. He's saying this halacha only matters according to Rabbi, because only if you hold that you need both do we care how the two react with each other. I think that's the vart, though. Just to answer your question, I think the real vart is that if you say that they're ma'akvin zezeh, it means that the interaction between tcheles and lavan matters. If you say they're not ma'akev each other, then they're totally independent entities. So which one comes before the other is irrelevant because they're independent of each other. And I think that's what he's saying. Not simply that if they're not ma'akev each other, So you could have just one, so who cares if you do one before the other? It's not just that you have just one, it's that the two don't relate to each other. So if they don't relate to each other, it shouldn't matter if one comes first. They just have nothing to do with each other. They're just two mitzvot. And therefore, the kedima shouldn't make a difference. That's the way I thought to explain what the Karen Ura was getting at. But again, at the end of the day, he has a Tosefta that's preferish against it. But that's what I thought he was getting at. Now, how does this play out lahalacha? Why does this matter lahalacha? Actually, even before that, so a few people were asking me this morning, is there such a thing as dine kedima just in general, that whenever the Torah says something first, it automatically means that there's a din kedima? So the answer is no, obviously. It would seem to be no. It would seem to be that we don't have dine kedima just based on the order that things are placed in the Torah. But there was a pretty startling comment of the Sefer Itur, the Bali Itur. The Bali Itur writes, if you look at the end of source number 6, I don't know if anyone got to it this morning. He says, "Umistavra," at the very end, "Umistavra lan, bedalin minim shabalul of nami mitzvah lahakdim lulav lahadas vahadas la'arava kesedra akosl v'im hikdim yatsa." He says, if we're going to pask in this halacha, that kedima matters because the Torah says first min kanaf, and then it says tchela, so you got to put the white in first, then the lavan. But if you don't do it that way, you're still yotze, yichitzer mitzvah min amufchar. Well, then the same is going to be true by lulav. What? Yeah. Putting it, yeah, exactly.
Well, then you should take the esrog before you think about lulav.
But the thing is, if you learn through sukkah, it seems that there is a chefetz shel mitzvah that you create by putting the lulav bundle together. So those three min in particular are made into a certain chefetz shel mitzvah, and then you just hold the esrog together with it. Now, we were saying before that you can't tell whether we pass like this or we don't pass like this because there's no halacha and tcheles, there's no riff, and there's no shulchan aruch. But if the Itur is right, sure you can tell if we pass like this or not. Because the Itur says there's no logical reason to distinguish between tzitzis and dalaminim. And we do have halachas about dalaminim. So just look, where does the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, what do they say about the dalaminim? Do you have to do this by dalaminim?
No.
And no one says it by dalaminim.
But tzitzis, the actual putting it in itself is a mitzvah. The making of tzitzis is a mitzvah. A little putting together is not a mitzvah. I'm just trying to compare.
Good. So why does he make this comparison? Either because he thinks it is a mitzvah, or he thinks that it's not a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah.
Meaning it's a hechsher mitzvah of making something that you're then later going to use as a mitzvah. I mean, he thinks it's an exact parallel. Again, none of the poskim quoted by Dalaminim. So Pasha says it has nothing to do with Dalaminim. None of the poskim seem to quote it by Dalaminim. How might this play out la'alacha even in the world of tzitzis? So there's an interesting comment of the Bir Halacha. Bir Halacha and Simen Yadalid in Hilchus Tzitzis, which is somewhere here. Yeah, the Bir Halacha, we're not going to read the whole Bir Halacha, but if you look at source number 9, he raises the question whether you need tchiva l'shma. Which part of making tzitzis needs to be l'shma? We said before, you can't have a kid do your tzitzis because the kid can't make something l'shma. So let's say the kid just sticks the string into the baguette and I'll tie it. Is that okay? Is tchiva l'shma necessary? Or forget about a kid. I'm going to do it whenever we do something l'shma. The halacha is l'chadchila, Shulchan Aruch says, you're supposed to say verbally, audibly, l'shay mitzvah tzitzis. So you're supposed to say you're doing it l'shma. Do you need to do that at the shas tchiva also? When you're sticking it in the baguette, do you need to say the words l'shay mitzvah tzitzis? So Bir Halacha says, I'm not sure. Not sure if you have to do it. It may be Tolui on this din. Why might it be Tolui on this din? We're not talking about Lishma, we're talking about which comes first. But if the Tchiva is considered a critical enough part of the process, that there are laws that govern which comes first, apparently the Tchiva is a chelik of the Asiyas HaMitzvah. I mean, what's the Bir Halacha's Safek? Whether you need Tchiva Lishma or not, the Safek is the Tchiva part of the Asiyas HaMitzvah? Is that part of making the chepta shel mitzvah of tzitzis? Or is that just like a hechsher dechsher? I mean, that's like not even part of it. That's just, you know, it's just something that you have to do, but it's not something that has any spiritual value. It's like the echitimtzit to get to the tying, but the tying is what really needs to be the shema. So if you hold that there's a seder hadvarim of how you do the tchiva, then it should clearly chapa nafkamina, that it would be lishma would matter also.
Yeah. We assume that all tzitzis made in like the tzitzis store or whatever Judaica store is made lishma tzitzis. Like the dude.
Yeah, a lot of them come with a hechsher. That they ascertain the strings also. They need to veil lishma. We'll get to maybe. So the Chazon Ish just points out. If you look in the Chazon Ish, in source number 10, Chazon Ish points out, Mishabura Simin Yodalid. See, the Chazon Ish and the Asvanda Araisa, I copied from Hebrew books. I tried to fix the Chazon Ish, because when you copy it from Hebrew books and it's in Rashi script, word tries to match the letters, and they don't always do such a good job of matching the letters. So I tried my best to fix the Chazon Ish. The Asvanda Araisa don't even try, you know. Mishabura simin yadalit it should be, all the dalit simmed into lamed. Sif beis bir alacha, divra maskalo yivarif. Dim tachav at sitzis tocha beged velo kivin lishma. Af shekashar lishma, lo yivarif. Don't make a bracha on tzitzis where the tchiva was not done lishma. Vitzide levarich midin ochiach sofa. And then at the end he says, maybe you should. He's mesopic about it. He says, vitema. Im lishma ma'akiv betchiva, alma tchiva b'chal asiyah. If lishma is ma'akiv the tchiva, then that means that tchiva is part of the asiyas atzitzis. Im kein dinu shim tachav achkach pasach rosh yichutin pasul lishma. So it would turn out that if you put the strings in and then you cut the strings to get the right number of strings, let's say you put these super long strings in and you just wrap them around and then you cut them, that would be pasul. Yeah. Vafilu min tzitam demodu b'zeh shmuel mikom lakom lo titachin kush segmar sukkah sham. Okay, we have to learn too much of another sugya to get that. But I want to get to Ibra, about five lines in, the end of the line. L'chore yesh raya debinan tchiva lishma me'adam rinu lam chesam and aleph debinan lahaktim lavan l'tcheles. The raya that you need tchiva lishma is our gemara. They have to be maktim lavan l'tcheles. V'ainuel karchuk b'tchiva da'ak shira hi kol achutin yachad. And obviously when we're talking about lavan l'tcheles, we're talking about tchiva, we're not talking about kshira, because kshira you do with all of the strings together. You can't tie just the lavan and then tie just the tcheles. You tie it only once they're all there. Ve'ein lomer lahaktim b'kricha, k'dam l'ametes. And don't say something ridiculous, like lahaktim means that you're just going to wind the white one first, meaning don't say, like who? Like the Shidim HaGevet says. Lo mashmake de letosus lam chesem lav dibra maskel ve'im lo mashmake shekosvu dahad lo ma'akiv mishum she'in ze ala mitzvah b'seder v'im kai ala kricha ri yesh kan shinoi b'tzura. He says, well, the Balei HaTosfos say that when you are mocked in the lavan, all you're doing is a different order. You're not actually changing the way the tzitzis look. If it meant being korich, you'd actually be changing the way the tzitzis look. So he obviously didn't have a Shittim Kvetzes, so he didn't see the Shittim Kvetzes. Because he's quoting the same Tosfos Shittim Kvetzes is quoting without the Shittim Kvetzes twist on it. Meaning the idea that being makdim means that you're that the end result, it's going to look exactly the same. Now, but then he goes on to say, three lines from the bottom. Val karch tzarech lomar, de b'mitzvahs tcheles b'inan tchivu l'shmo, k'dei l'kayim mitzvahs hakadama. Aval, kol zeh lo ma'akev, vilkach af shalo l'shmo lo ma'akev. All of this is not ma'akev, and even if you do tchiva shalo l'shmo, it's also not ma'akev. I mean, just like the din kedima is not ma'akev. So any din you're going to have about tchiva is not going to be ma'akev. U'kishe'ein lo, here's the chiddush, u'kishe'ein lo elo lavan, Vaday ein tsarich tchiva lishma. What's he saying?
If you explain Rashi like the Yerachim, the tchiva is a significant part of the process. Once you get rid of the process, then it loses its significance. There's no din of kedima for the tchela, for the love of the tchelas, then it just loses its whole.
Yeah, I mean, he's making a marriage between the din of lishma and the din of kedima. Very, very strongly. I mean, he's trying to say that because kedima is a din in the tchiva, and because lishma is a din in the tchiva, When you don't have one, you don't have the other. And nowadays that we have only Lavan, you don't have a din of Kedima. So if there's no din Kedima, Mimela, there's no din Lishma either on the Tchiva. It's quite a Chiddush, no? You could have argued that there are, the Tchiva matters, and therefore there are several details about the Tchiva. You have to put the Lavan in first. You have to do it Lishma. These are all details about the Tchiva. And some of these details may not always apply, like when you don't have tcheles, you obviously can't put lavan in first because there's no tcheles. But other details are still going to apply. You still need to do it lishma. Chazon is saying no. That the din of kedima only applies when you have tcheles. Mimela, the din of lishma only applies when you have tcheles. Because tchiva is only significant insofar as that's a din of tcheles. Tchiva is a halacha in tcheles. And therefore, doing lavan before tcheles, that's a din in tcheles. And doing it lishma is a din in tcheles. So if you don't have tcheles, you lose out that opportunity to do it lishma. You lose out that element of making mitzvah, of making tzitzis. Quite a chiddush, but that's what he suggests. All right, didn't get to the Shana Levlakev. All right, there's nice Chaznish and yes, Vengel. Tomorrow we'll move to new sugya though. Yeah, I want to try a new one every day. We'll do Gardumin tomorrow.